That's pretty good stuff right there, wasn't it? That sure was. Moms, hopefully you are honored today and you feel just blessed all day long, and you are certainly due and worthy of great honor. I want to invite you to reach and grab your copy of God's Word, and let's open back up to the book of James. James was James, the brother of Jesus, who had, after encountering his brother Jesus, in a resurrected state, he encountered a resurrected brother. He went from being a skeptic and a doubter. If you are a first timer here today or new, I've been preaching through a message series, a sermon series, a set of lessons entitled Legit Faith All Day, Every Day. And really, as we've looked at James, the brother of Jesus, this is probably the how-to manual on Christian living, how we should live each and every day. James has already told us how we should use our tongue, how we should deal with trials, how we should deal with temptations. He's already talked to us about that vital relationship between faith and works. Faith alone is dead. Works alone doesn't earn us salvation. But faith, genuine faith, always produces appropriate works. We've also looked at the idea of our tongue, how devastatingly deadly and poisonous our tongue can be. We looked at quarreling and fighting. And now today, James takes up another topic. It's really having a legitimate faith all day, every day at the office, in business, and in work. And as we look at James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, James gives us some principles on living faithfully in the moment at the office. What James is ultimately trying to combat here is the idea that James saw in his day, and my guess is he would see it in our day as well, that we kind of bookend our spiritual walk and our spiritual journey to Sunday. Monday through Saturday's mine for me to work and achieve, but I'm going to give a portion of Sunday to God. James says it shouldn't be that way. James says, listen, part of who we are and the ability we have has been given to us by God Himself. Therefore, we need to make sure that in everything that we do, not just in worship, but at the office, that we honor God. Look at James chapter 4, picking it up in verse 13, going 13 to 17. Let me read the passage for you, and then I want to explain to you the context in which James was speaking. James says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. He says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? He says, you are but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. He said, instead, we ought to say this, if it is the Lord's will, and I'm going to share with you in a second, that's not just a set of words that we say. It's a belief in our heart that we acknowledge, if it is God's will, we will live and do this or we will do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, for them it is sin. Now, we're just going to leave that passage up there, and I want to set the context for you. In James's day, there in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, as the church was beginning to grow and expand, there were many believers who were coming to faith who were well off, who had amassed great fortunes. They were great business minds. They were great intellects. They were good merchants. And that can be traced all the way back to the days of Alexander the Great. What had happened is many in the society in that day, in the burgeoning economies and the mercantile system of that day, many of the people were moving from being pure agrarian driven, in other words, they were farming, they had a little plot of land they farmed, to being merchants. They would ship and they would receive and they would create business, and then they would franchise from one city to the other city, just like today. And James is talking to those Christian businessmen and businesswomen. He's saying, listen, we have to be careful that we always acknowledge God in everything that we do, that we don't bracket God and say, God, Sunday morning is yours, the rest of the day is mine. I'll see you next Sunday. James says, in every area of our life, we need to understand that we have been gifted by God. Now, James, in his day, many of the people he were talking to were very successful Jewish business leaders. And that didn't just start in James's day. If you look at the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they would disobey God, God would allow other countries to come in and drag the people off and place them in positions. And you can go through the Old Testament and you can see examples of Jewish leaders who were taken from their homeland that ultimately achieved a high level and a high ranking place in another country. Think of Joseph. Remember, he became second only to Pharaoh. Then you think of Daniel. Remember, Daniel had worked his way up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Alexander the Great came in and basically conquered the world. In conquering the world, Alexander the Great didn't cut a contract, didn't negotiate with many people. Normally, he walked in and said, "You got two options. Either serve me or die." That was all he said. Interestingly enough, if you look historically, he did cut one contract with one group of people. And it was the Jewish people. And the contract that he cut with them was simply this. He acknowledged that they were incredible business minds and business leaders. And so he cut a contract with them. He says, "Listen, if you'll promise to serve me and oversee a certain area in a certain place and raise taxes for me," he goes, "I'll do something for you." And they said, "Well, what we want most of all is we want to be self-ruled. We would like to have..." That's why when you come to Jesus' day, although that covenant between the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the leadership was between the Jews and Rome, that really was just a carryover of the contract that the Jews had worked out with Alexander the Great before them. Now, Alexander the Great ended up dying at a young age, but as Rome began to basically rule the world, the Jews held high positions. And they became very, very wealthy. Now, so much so that Alexander said, "Well, what's your part of the covenant?" Interestingly enough, you can go back historically, the Jews said a couple of things. Basically said to Alexander the Great, "When we sign this covenant, you let us continue to be self-rule. We will raise the taxes for you in our area." That's why by the time that you get to Jesus' day, you have the tax collectors who basically were thought of as thieves and evil, because all they had to do was pass enough along to the government above. They could have everything that was left. Beyond that, if you go back and look at historically, the Jews also made a covenant and a contract with Alexander the Great, and they said, "For the next year, for one full year, we will name all of the boys Alexander." We put the name Alexander in their name, saying that we are honoring you, Alexander the Great. That was the way they showed it. That's why even among today, although Alexander is not a Jewish name, there are many Jews, even to this day, that have Alexander in their name. It goes all the way back to this contract. So by James's day, Jesus's day, the mercantile system had begun to grow. Many of these believers who used to be agrarians were starting to see opportunity in this city and that city. And many of them were incredibly gifted that they could go to this city and set up a franchise and make money. And then they could go set up a franchise in this city and this city and this city. And James says, "Listen, there's nothing wrong with that." Let me tell you what James is not saying here. James is not saying, "Don't make a plan." That's not what James is saying. Make a plan. Just make sure that God's involved in the plan. James is not saying, "Don't expand your business." As a matter of fact, James would say, "Expand your business as long as it's God's will." James is not saying, "Don't make a profit." As a matter of fact, he is saying, "Make a profit, but always remember to use your profit to honor God." James is not saying if you're incredibly gifted as a scientist or in medicine or whatever it is, or sales or whatever, James is not saying not to use your gifts. As a matter of fact, he is saying use your gifts. There's a radio commentator right now that it kind of sounds incredibly arrogant when he says it, primarily because who says it? But he says, he uses this phrase, "I have talent on loan from..." How many of you know the phrase? James is saying, always remember that. Don't let that be a pious platitude you say. James is simply saying in this passage, remember that everything that you have is talent on loan from God. So use it. Use it well. Use it wisely. But remember who gave you the talent, and pay him back and live beyond today. So as we come to James, I want you to know, James is not saying don't make money. James is not saying don't be rich. James is saying if God has gifted you with an amazing intellect or ability to sell or ability to do one thing or the other, or you're a chemist or something, whatever it is, he says use it to its fullest, but always honor God. So let me give you three thoughts on living in the moment, day by day, as it comes to your work and your business and my work and my business and my life. Thought number one is this. You ready? Don't ever live in the state of personal myopia. Don't ever live in the personal state of myopia. Myopia, what is that? That's called nearsighted. That means I have the ability to see things close clearly, but everything that is far away is fuzzy. James was saying there are many in his church, just like there are many in our churches today, who live focused only on me and my and everything about me. And James says it ought not to be that way. Look at James chapter 4, verse 13. He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make some money. Now, as we leave this up here, let me tell you a couple of thoughts. James is not given an actual example. He's not quoting someone and says, listen, you who said to me just the other day, I'm going to do this or do that. He's given us a hypothetical. My guess is he's given us a hypothetical example about business and business practices based on multiple conversations that he's had. And that's the way a lot of times when I'll share a story or a thought that some of you say or I've heard people say, usually it's kind of a collection of a lot of conversations that I've had with people. It's usually not one individual person. And so James is saying, you know what? It's really good that God is blessing a lot of people, but here's what I've noticed in a lot of our conversations when it comes to business, that as I build wealth, it becomes all about me. And James says it ought not to be that way. So he gives us a hypothetical. He kind of gives us an indefinite time. That's why I know it's a hypothetical. He says, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, indefinite time. What city are we going to? Indefinite, just a city. It could be anybody. In other words, it could be you. If you're a traveling salesman, it could be wherever you're going. If you work in Dallas, it could be that city. If it's in Oklahoma, it could be that city. If it's in Louisiana, it could be that city. It could be any city whatsoever. He intentionally left it open. He said, this city or that city, say, I'll spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Now, notice this, make money, depending on what translation you have. It oftentimes translates that very Greek word as make a profit. And a lot of times people will kind of over-spiritualize the idea, well, you know what, it's not Christian to make a profit. I want you to hear me. Survey says, wrong answer. As a matter of fact, this very Greek word, make a profit, is used both positively and negatively in the New Testament and throughout God's Word. Making a profit is why you're in business. So there's nothing unspiritual about making a profit. There's not only nothing unspiritual about making a profit, there's nothing unspiritual about making a big profit. That's not what James is saying. The point is not how much your profit is, because profit, it's what you do with that profit and how you honor God. And then he says, carry on business. We are told that God created us to labor and to work, that's what we're to do. And some of you are in construction and you're doing this and you've got degrees that I can't spell. And as long as you understand that is talent on loan from God, you'll be good. Let me give you three key indicators that you are probably living in a state of spiritual myopia. Thought number one is this. is myopic people focus only on today or tomorrow. They focus only on today or tomorrow. Now, he's not just talking about today or tomorrow. He's talking about this world. We focus on the present and not the eternal. That all we care about is our next paycheck or our next bang or our next car or our next this or our next that. It's focusing on today or tomorrow and not eternally. Second thing, the person who lives in a state of spiritual myopia always depends on their own ability, and they never trust God, and they never honor God for giving them the abilities that they have. Let me ask you a question. In your day-to-day operations, your Monday through Saturday, the non-Sunday environment of what you do, if you are just blowing the top off, how often do you pause and say, thanks, God? Just thanks. If you're great with numbers, or if you're great in construction, or if you're great in, you know, alarms, or if you're great, it doesn't matter. Do you pause? Say, thanks, God. Because chances are, what you're doing, I couldn't do. And there are a lot of people that couldn't do it. Whether you're in law enforcement or fireman, man, if you're gifted at something, just pause and say, thank you, God, for giving me these gifts. It's always amazing to me every time I see a new study about how many people are not actually living and making a living in the area of their degree that they got educated for. But somewhere along the line, they just begin to follow their talents and abilities that are on loan from God. And they honor Him. Here's the next thought. Put it up on the screen. Myopic living spends life pursuing earthly profit and not eternal profit. When you make a profit, do you honor God with the profit? Do you honor God with the first fruits? Do you honor God with the tithe? Do you honor God with the kingdom? Do you honor God by giving more than you take? Jesus, talking about someone who was boastful and prideful in Luke chapter 12, gave us a story. My guess is most of you would know the story, but in Luke chapter 12, let's put it up here. It's about a guy that lives in spiritual myopia. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 15. Okay. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. We got it up there. Oh, there it is. Then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Here's the key, the greed. All right, that's real. He says, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And then he told them this parable. This is about the guy that is boastful in them. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? He says, I have no place to store all of my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and there I will store all of my grain, my surplus grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many, many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, there was never a thought about, God, you have so blessed me. How can I bless others? How can I bless somebody else? God, I want to thank you for all the gifts and all the talents. I want to thank you for the wonderful rain and everything that has happened and the profit that I have. I want to do so much. I want to help my hometown. I want to help this group out or that group out. I want to give for the kingdom. None of that. Do you get it? It's all about Him. No eternal value, no thought, and here's the sad case. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things, here's the key, for themselves, but is not rich towards God. You get what James is saying? You get what Jesus is saying? He doesn't chastise the guy for having a bumper crop year. You want bumper crops. We want doubled commissions. We want raises and promotions. If God has given you the talent and the ability, don't waste it. Because you can also look in Scripture and you can over-spiritualize it all you want, but Paul said, listen, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. In other words, go to work. What Jesus is saying, what James is saying, but as God blesses you, be rich toward God and His work and His will. Second thing that we see about someone who lives in a myopic state is this. They live a misdirected life. So don't live a misdirected life. Don't live a life that is only focused on you, but also don't live a misdirected life. Look at it in James chapter 4, verse 14. It says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? He says, you are a mist that disappears, that appears for a little while and then vanishes. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. He says, don't live a misdirected life. What is a misdirected? Man, I directed myself. He says, listen, the reality of it is I can say I want to go to this city and go to that city and I want to make a profit and I want to do this. I can say all of those things about what I want to do, but that's what I want to do. Here's the reality. None of us knows. None of us knows what even tomorrow brings. If I were to look, probably like you, at my calendar, Mondays are always crazy. It's just, we roll into the church, it's meeting, 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 as we're looking back, trying to fix things, as we're looking forward, trying to fix things. Although I can tell you what's on my calendar, I have no idea what's about to happen tomorrow. I don't. Because especially in my ministry and my job, a phone call in 30 minutes could change everything. It could change everything. Same with you. We don't know. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Man, that's only God's. He says, you are but a mist that appears for a while. I love this thought. Listen, all we are, my whole life, whether I live to be 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 or 150, I am just a blip between two eternities. My time on earth is nothing more than a blip between two eternities, eternity past and eternity future. And all I am is right here. I don't know everything that happens in the past. I don't have a clue what's about to happen next because I'm not God. But he says, you're trying to direct your life and you don't even know what happened. He goes, not only that, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. Now remember, profit is used both good and bad, and it's highly spoken of to make a good profit as long as we're rich towards God. And then he says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Now listen, here's the point. If all I do with my wealth and my riches is spend it on me and build bigger barns so I can store bigger crops, I want you to know, there's no beating around that bush. James and Jesus both said, that's arrogant and selfish and boasting. And if all you do is build bigger barns for you and you're never rich toward God, that is sin. That is absolutely sin. Let me give you the next thought, and you see it right there. Misdirected lives are filled with pride and arrogance. Man, they spend so much of their life just tapping themselves on the back and patting themselves on the back. And you hear them at the corner and they're talking about, man, I got this new thing and I got this new thing and I got this new thing. Hey, you ought to see this new thing I have. And I built one out there too. And it's never about what I do for God and appreciation for what God has given to me. Here's the third thought as we think about it. Do live faithfully in the moment. Do live faithfully in the moment. Here's what James said in James chapter 4. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Go to the next slide. He says in James chapter 4, verse 15, he said, Instead of saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make a profit, I'm going to build me bigger barns, and I'm going to have all my crops, and everybody's going to look at me, and I'm going to have the biggest barns in the whole city. He says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Then look at verse 7. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Now remember, James is not talking about the business leader out there. James is talking to Christian businessmen and businesswomen. See, James doesn't give us this passage about boasting for us to go out over dinner, lunch after church, and talk about, oh, so-and-so who lives next door that doesn't give any thought to God, or so-and-so corporation that is this big and that. James isn't talking to them, folks. He's talking to us. James is talking to us in this room, believers, about how we should operate. Listen, we should expect non-Christians to operate their businesses like non-Christians. We should expect non-Christians to use their profits like non-Christians use their profits. But James says Christians ought to be different, because we understand our lives are just a vapor. They're just a myth. And then they're gone. And look, he says, instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, or if the Lord wills. I think it's interesting. He didn't just simply tell us, listen, just be sure every time you do something, say, yeah, if it's God's will. A lot of times that's what we reduce this statement and this thought to. Well, just say, you know, hey, I'll be there if it's God's will. It's kind of like, I've got my plans, and if God allows me to carry out my plans, then it's God's will. No, see, he uses the word Lord, kurios, in the original language. Lord is someone who lords it over, that I serve God, that I, in my business plan, in my practice, in my life, I say, God, as I'm developing the plan, whether I'm going to go to this city or that city or this job or that job, I am letting God direct my plans. And I make a plan, and then I say, God, all right, as we think about what we're doing, God, what do you want me to do? Is this good? Is this how you want me to work and spend my life, whatever breath of time that I'm here on this earth? How do you want me to spend it? That's what he says. If it is the Lord's will, God's, what is your will? A lot of times people want to make their plans and my plans about doing this and building bigger barns. And then we say, essentially, if God lets it happen, it must be his will. Can I tell you, you can look all throughout Scripture and all throughout history, and there are a lot of times that people, that God allows people to do what they want to do, and it's never his will. So if it's the Lord's will, we will live or do this or do that. He says, now look at verse 17. He says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. Guess what else he's saying? For the non-believer who doesn't know how they're supposed to spend their time and their talents and their resources, they don't know, it's not sin. But those who do know, it's sin. Let me give you a couple of closing thoughts. So how can I make sure that I live faithfully in the moment, Monday through Saturday? Thought number one, always make sure you have prayerful consideration before every important decision. Prayerful consideration before every important decision. Now, a lot of times people would like to say every decision, but every prayerful decision, every significant decision that you would have to make, not, I think a lot of times we're not talking, God doesn't care whether or not, God doesn't care whether or not you are, you're going to wear a red or a blue shirt. He doesn't care. He doesn't care whether you're going to eat chicken or hamburger for lunch tomorrow. But if it is a significant, important decision, where you're going to spend your resources, what you're going to buy, what you're going to do, then I would encourage you, spend time in prayer. Second thought, you ready? Just do it. Just do it. That comes from that last phrase, whatever you do for you, you have to do it. Now, how many of you know those three words, just do it? Those are not new to me. How many of you have heard those a time or two before? See, back in 1988, an advertising agency went to a company called Nike that had a little swoosh. At that time, I think Nike had about $47 million in sales in the shoe stores or something like that. They said, how about if we add this phrase next to that little swoosh, just do it? And that becomes the moniker of everything that you do. Just do it. I think Nike now is about $10 billion. $10 billion in sales. It's because, what do? They just do it. What would happen if just the people in here, when it came to their business and their resources and their time and their energy, what if we just did it? What if we just did it? How significant of an impact could we make on the world around us? Every year, every week through this, we've given a little Cottonwood challenge. We've given ourselves a challenge on how we use our tongue and how we use our life and how we use our energy. Today, I want to give you a little challenge. You saw that Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Just do it. Let me give you a challenge. Go to the next passage, the Cottonwood challenge for the week. All right? Living in the moment when it comes to your business. One, I will read my Bible and pray every day. Man, that's challenge number one. Just make sure, so at the very least, God's Word is instructing you and instructing me on how I should live. Number two, I'll acknowledge that all of my abilities are on loan from God. All of my abilities are on loan from God. Next, I will honor God with the tithe of everything that I have, that I won't spend everything on my bigger barns, my bigger houses, my bigger this, but I will honor God with a tithe of everything that He has given me because of the abilities I have. And then next, listen, I will commit my time on earth to serving God. Whatever you do for a living, do all in the name of the Lord. Just do it. Keith, you want to come out and let's close by singing a verse of that, Because He Lives. That's how we're going to close today, Because He Lives. And as we approach that and as we think of that song, man, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. What a thought. Whatever it is at the office, whatever city it is, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I want to invite our altar team to come forward. Our altar team is always here if you're hurting, you're struggling. You want to take another step of faith that after we sing this song, you make your way to the altar as everyone else heads to the door. So let's stand, sing one chorus of this song, Because He Lives.